Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino, and I am so pumped up because we have exit interviews for the first time here in 2020. We are going to be talking to real life survivors who were in this game, and not just any survivors. We're going to talk to the top six players from Survivor Winners at War. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the finale, get out of here now, because we are going to be talking to We're going to be talking to the winner of Survivor Winners at War, Tony Vlachos. We're going to be talking with the runner-up, Natalie Anderson, Michelle Fitzgerald, Sarah Lucina. We're going to talk with her. We're going to talk with Ben Driebergen and Denise Stapley, all here in this podcast that you're about to listen to. So I'm really pumped up for this one after what a great ending to Winners at War on Wednesday night. Really loved the finale. You could listen to my full breakdown of everything that we saw over the course of 3 hours with Stephen Fishback in Survivor Know-It-Alls. Later on today, I'm going to get together with Ali Lasher to answer all of your feedback questions. So if you're listening to this afternoon, we're going to be recording it around 8 p.m. Eastern time, so there's still time to get feedback questions in for that podcast. Going to have Kellen Bechtold on this week in Survivor over the weekend, plus our final wand off with Josh Wiggler coming up on Monday. But without further ado, it is my great pleasure to throw it to my interview with the champ, Tony Vlachos.
What's going on, Cat Daddy Love?
Is this the two-time King of Survivor, Tony Vlachos?
Say it again.
The two-time winning Survivor champion, $3 million winning Survivor, Tony Vlachos?
Sure is, my man.
Well, Tony, I'm so proud of you. This is so incredible that I couldn't be happier for you and your family this morning. What an incredible job. I would just love to know, how does it feel to go from the high in Cagayan to the low lows of the spy bunker in Game Changers, and then to come back and ultimately win what I believe to be the most impressive win in the history of the show?
Oh my God, man. Rob, I mean, you know exactly how that must feel, man. It's just so incredible, man. No. It's incredible, man. Rob, let me tell you. And honestly, man, my game cannot get any better. That was my maximum full potential. I cannot get any better than that. I won immunities. I built a spy nest. I overcame a disadvantage. You know, I found an idol. I beat somebody in fire. You know, like, there's nothing more I could have done in that game to make me better than what I am right then and then. You know, that's it.
Did you play a flawless game? Even Stephen Fishback couldn't find anything wrong with what you did this season.
Oh, my God. I had so many flaws, but, you know, obviously they edited it because I'm a winner, so they edit all that stuff out. But I had plenty of flaws, I'm pretty sure. There's no way. You can't say flawless and Tony in the same sentence. No way.
So were you sweating out the vote at all, or did you feel like that you had it in your old bag of tricks?
You know, you know how it is, man. You like, especially with me, I'm never that confident where I could get lax. I never put my guard down. So even if I felt that I had the votes, I would still have that little doubt in my mind, like maybe I can lose, because I never want to set myself up for failure. You know what I mean? I never want to get blindsided.
Yeah. Tony, can you tell us that, do you feel like you are now the greatest of all time?
Nah, you know what, Rob? I wish I could go along with it and just act like that, but I just can't. That game is not something that you can judge one season and say, okay, this person he's the best player of all seasons. It just doesn't work like that, because you know what? Michelle was the greatest player in her season. Natalie was the greatest player in her season. Sarah was the greatest player in her season. You know, that's why they won. So I think I was the greatest player in this season, season 40, and that's why I won. But I definitely would not consider myself the best to ever play. Wow. That's how I see it.
What a social game, Tony. Now I know why you got 12 votes.
Yeah, instead of 16, right?
I think 12 is the most. I don't think anybody's ever gotten 12 before. I don't think so. I'm not sure.
Well, 16 people jury.
Yeah. Tony, I really loved that scene last night with you and Sarah after the Final Four fire making, and it was so much fun to watch your friendship and Cops R Us over the course of this season. When did you know that you wanted it to be you and Sarah all the way to the end?
I think we both wanted that after Cagayan, after we, you know, after we talked and hashed out all our indifferences from Cagayan, we said to each other, if we ever play again, let's just try to sit there at the end. Let's make this dream that we had of Cops R Us sitting in the final three come true one day, if we ever get to play. And we did get to play again in Game Changers. And unfortunately for me, and fortunately for her, you know, we didn't get to play together. That's why she won and I lost. But, and this time around, it was right from the jump street. We were like, you know what, Sarah? Let's keep away from each other because you can see it happening. They're separating every single power couple, every duo, they're separating them. Rob and Amber, they're getting rid of them. Natalie and Jeremy, they're getting rid of them. So let's stay away from each other. And we did a great job of keeping away from each other and not raising any flags. You know, and that's why we were as successful as we were. And as far as I'm concerned, I really wanted to go to the end with her.
Yeah. And were you concerned at all when you made that big move and you voted out Sophie? And I think that was probably the most important move that got made in the game because I thought you took away all these other options that Sarah might have had. Did you feel like that you might have lost Sarah by making that move?
You know what, Rob? I knew she was going to be upset with me, and I knew she even if she wanted to go against me, which I didn't think so, because her bond, her loyalty is real, especially when it's outside the game, you know? So I didn't think she would turn her back on me, but I know at that point that she shouldn't have left me, because then she'd be in the bottom of some other alliance instead of being on the top with me, you know? So I didn't think that she would be able to go somewhere else, even if she wanted to, because it wouldn't be the right thing for her to do.
Did it make it easier that Sarah went and won Game Changers, where it wasn't like that if you guys were playing in a season where you had won and she hadn't, that it was, okay, all right, this one's my turn to win. But the fact that you guys both had won, that sort of like leveled the playing field in terms of your working relationship?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. Because had she not won Game Changers, and well, then again, it wouldn't have been a winner season, but let's just pretend she didn't win. There's no way she would want to go with me again to see if I would win again. But being that she already won, she already knows what she's capable of. She knows she's capable of getting jury votes. So she knew that she had a chance of beating me. And I'm pretty sure she could have probably beaten me, you know? Who knows?
We don't know. Tony, going back to the season, I'm sure that there were a ton of things that you did in the game that we didn't get to see in the show. Do you have anything that you think of that is one of your bigger moves that we didn't get to see in the show?
I wouldn't say my bigger moves, but there was some points where, you know, like I knew about Sophie's idol. Sarah told me about Sophie's idol. There was a lot of reasons behind the Sophie vote off with the Wendell vote. Right from the merge, you know, I started planting seeds on getting rid of Wendell. Nick came up to me and Nick was telling me how Wendell and Michelle were splitting tokens to get rid of Yule. I used that against Wendell to get Wendell out. So there was a lot of things that I did that wasn't shown. Me and Nick, we flushed out Kim's idol. We knew that Kim had an idol. Nick told me that night when they came back from Tribal that Kim had an idol. So me and Nick planned on flushing it out. So we made Kim very nervous that Tribal where she played her idol and Denise. You know, there was a lot of little things, you know. I made a fake idol. And I gave the fake idol to Sarah, and Sarah brilliantly played it in front of Natalie. She wanted Natalie to see her sneakily putting it in her bag, knowing that Natalie was watching. Sarah put the fake idol inside her bag, and Natalie saw that she had an idol, and that's one of the reasons why Natalie wasn't going to make a move on her when she was vulnerable at Tribal, and we voted out Denise.
Wow.
You know, so there's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of, I mean, there's little things in the whole scheme of the story that was being told, but, you know, there was a lot of things, and I'm sure when we have a longer chat, it's all going to come out.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Tony, is there anything that you could have done differently at that second final six that would have gotten Ben and Sarah to go with your plan to put the votes on Denise?
I you know what, Rob? You've seen how I was, man. What you've seen on TV is exactly what it was. I didn't want to be too pushy. I didn't want to turn nobody off, and I didn't want to turn them against me. So it was very sensitive at that final, you know, that I just couldn't be too pushy. So I had to just... Ah, man, I was so angry, man, Rob, with that. But I don't think, I didn't want to go. I knew I had the protection, so I didn't want to go against the grain and try to, you know, do something I just don't know, man. Yeah. I was just very upset that, like, how do you just not assume that somebody's protected? It was so safe to do a 2-2-2. And that's another reason why Ben felt the way he did towards the end. And that's why he told Sarah, I'm okay. You know, I'm okay. You know, I screwed this up. It's my own doing. I don't have protection now because we could have saved the idols. Tony won the immunity. He could have gave the idol to you. We would have crushed the game. We would have got Michelle out. You know, it would have all been different had they do that 2-2-2 split.
Tony, it came up in the episode after the family visit where Baby Cakes and your kids all came out to see you. And then you won the immunity in that episode. And you said, can't believe it. Like, look at this. I won a game of patience. And I felt like that was just this great microcosm of the entire 39 days for you, where you came back with a patience that I don't remember ever seeing from you in Survivor Cagayan. How hard was that to develop that part of your game?
Oh man, it was extremely hard. Rob, I said it before and I'll say it again. If I didn't make a conscious effort to remind myself every minute of the game, Tony, be patient. Tony, be patient. Do not step out of line. These guys will get rid of you. These guys are all winners. They're great players. Do not step out of line. They'll get you out right away. If I didn't do that constantly, I would have probably fell off. I would have stepped out of line and I would have got voted off. So I had to do that in order to stay in the game. But I wouldn't say I was patient 39 days. I was patient for the first half, and that was it. And once I won that immunity, Rob, man, that's it, man. You know, a lot of people, they get that security, and they're like, okay, now I could relax. Now I could take a deep breath. But me, once I get that power, oh, my God, I exploit it, and I maximize it. I use it to its fullest potential.
You talked about in a secret scene that it was your wife, Baby Cakes. She told you that, hey, Tony, you have to be patient. Don't run around. Don't be looking for idols. What did she say to you? Did she tell you that, you know, that you're going to sleep on the couch if you end up getting voted out in like Game Changers again?
Well, she said, do you want me to show you Game Changers again to see what kind of fool you look like? And I said, no. She said, well, just remind yourself that you look like a fool running around there and being silly and goofy for no reason. And look what it got you. Just this time, you just got to play smart. You got to be quiet. You got to be patient. Watch. Listen. Do more listening than talking. And I did it, man. And I did it. I did what she, you know, she coached me the right way. And it got me to success, man. It was great.
Yeah. Two more pink chandeliers now.
No, now they're getting golf carts. So I'm getting, not a golf cart, I'm sorry, a go-kart. I'm getting a blue one for Constantine and a pink one for Anastasia. Little go-karts that are gas-operated because the battery ones always die, man. So I just want to put a little gas one in there.
Okay. speaking of gas, you were able to get that fire going to win the Final Four fire-making challenge. So, Tony, we were wondering last night that were you downplaying how well you can make the fire, or were you really actually concerned about your ability to make a fire against anybody?
Did you watch how I made that fire? It was the worst. It was the worst fire making ever in the history, I think. It was horrible. I suck at fire. What I did was quite the opposite, actually. So when Natalie and Michelle, when they would talk to me, I would be making a fire, practicing fire on the side, and Natalie would come over, walk to me, and I would purposely like hide everything, knock everything down, making it look like I'm really good at fire, but I want to pretend that I wasn't. Mm-hmm. And Natalie sure fell for that, because if Natalie knew how bad I was, she would have destroyed me. She would have stepped down and crushed me. Mm-hmm. And she's seen how bad I was, and she must feel bad because I know she knows how to make fire because that's all they did in the Edge. And Boston Rob would train them all. He's like, listen, guys, when we get into this game, we have a shot to get into the final three, but we got to learn how to make fire. And they would practice making fire. So I had to pretend that I was really good at making fire. So every time that, you know, I would walk up to Michelle, like, I was acting like I wasn't even practicing. Hey, Michelle, how's it going? And Michelle's like, I'm stressed out. I'm like, no, Michelle, you're doing fine. Don't worry about it. Especially the fire kits in Tribal, they're dry. It's easier to make the fire. And she's like, what about you? Are you practicing? I was like, you know, it's okay. I mean, I'm pretty good in fire. I'm okay. You know, but I suck, man. I was so bad at fire.
Tony, what was the point in the game that you were the most scared that you were going to lose it all?
Oh man, you know, I don't remember. I don't think there was a point where I was really scared that I was going to lose it all. I really don't think there was a point where, you know, I'm always thinking that, you know, this might not work out for me, but I don't think there was a point where I felt like I was going to go. Oh, no, no, no. You know what? I'm sorry. I forgot all about it. DeSandra, when Denise played her idols.
Yeah.
That was a moment where I thought I was gone. I was a goner. And I should have been a goner.
You should have been. Denise's decision saved you.
Well, you know what? And I'm grateful for that. But again, you know, they didn't show how me and Denise were so close. We formed a social bond. And again, my social play, me and Denise were talking about life and everything and talking about kids and family. And we bonded. And if we didn't bond, if I closed her out and I closed her out as an option to work with because we had the majority in numbers and I brushed her off. I was like, I don't need to talk to Denise. But I did talk to Denise because I needed to make the social bonds. And I believe that's what saved me because it's so easy to say, oh, you know, Tony doesn't even talk to me. I'll get him out. You know, so that saved me.
I know you got to run and do more interviews, but tell me, are you officially retired from Survivor now?
I'm actually looking forward to a seniors edition of Survivor.
Yeah?
I want to go back when I'm 70. I want to see if I still have that energy.
Yeah, you'll be old school then. They'll say that you could wear the old school shirt.
Absolutely. Older school.
Yeah. Yeah, but I got to think that you've done everything there is to do, right?
I don't think there's anything more that I did. You know, if you have a Survivor checklist of the poster child of Survivor, I think I checked them all off. You know, from social game, strategic game, physical game. I won 4 immunities. Come on, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Winning immunities. I thought outside the box by building spy bunkers and spy nests. That actually worked for me. I made fire. I found idols. I pulled off some master blindsides. What more could you want from me, you know? One more. There's nothing more you can ask from a Survivor player. Nothing.
Yeah. It's only downhill from here. Trust me, Tony.
Yeah. Hey, downhill, sometimes you go the fastest.
Yeah, watch it with those go-karts, okay, on the downhill.
I know. They have a governor on it. I'm going to set it at slow speed, like 35 miles an hour instead of 70.
All right, Tony, I'll let you run. Congratulations again. Looking forward to having a longer chat at some point down the road. And congratulations again, Tony. Incredible, incredible job this season.
Thanks a lot, Rockin' Rob, man. I appreciate it, man.
Okay. All right. Take care, Tony.
Bye.
I'm so happy for Tony. What a great job he did this season. Really hard not to be excited for Tony and everything he was able to accomplish this season. And really looking forward to hearing about everything else that Tony was up to this season. All right, let's join my interview with the big shocker from last night. She came in from the edge and managed to get to second place in the season. Let me bring you my interview with Natalie Anderson. Natalie, how are you doing, Miss Survivor?
Oh, what's up, dude?
How are you?
So many emotions, good and bad, ups and downs from last episode. It was a lot, but doing okay so far.
Look, I understand the ups and downs, but I just hope you've taken some time to really be able to just appreciate what you were able to accomplish, because back in February, I didn't think I was going to be talking to you today.
Yeah, when I first got voted off?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's crazy. You know, for me, I'm always like, oh my God, second place is first loser. And I'm trying to, you know, and I think the fans and people are showing me love and making me focus on the positives, not only on the losing part, you know, but it's crazy. I'm watching the episode was like the highest of the highs and then the dreading the lowest of the low at the end, you know. So overall, I think I did pretty good watching the episode. And I'm ready to just kind of put this some closure to this whole story. I've gone back and forth with how this could turn out. I think I went in knowing that I wasn't going to win, which is, I guess, better than going in thinking I was going to win the whole thing. But yeah, it's been crazy.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't believe it last night that you were voted out from day 2, and then here you are on what, day 36? And then
we'll just show up.
You just show up right there into the final 6. That was incredible. So we really appreciated that. What was it like for you that you knew that this was coming, that you knew that you were going to be coming back into the game all season long, but you weren't really part of the episodes as much from week to week? But then there you were on finale night, really front and center for everything. Was that similar to like the experience of the season for you?
Yeah, you know, my first season was such a different experience watching it. I was front and center almost every episode. There was never an episode that didn't involve me kind of spearheading the storyline or what was going on. So this was a really humbling experience watching it back because, I wasn't even on one entire episode. And, I'm not used to that. Obviously, you have to stand one door, sir. So it was a really different experience. And then being able to sit back and realize, even though I was, grinding slowly and, obviously they didn't have time to show, entire Extinction episodes, which I think they should have because it was amazing.
Yeah.
Being able to sit back at the end and knowing that this was coming at the end, I had some gratification. Only, three people knew that I had got back in, obviously Nadia knew. I don't know if I broke any laws telling her, but, you know, everybody else had kind of counted me out, and I said it to myself and to Nadia. I was like, it was really easy to root for me my first season because I was obviously in center stage the whole time. But a lot of people after that first episode kind of counted me out, including friends. And to come back at the end and not only prove everybody else wrong, but prove to myself that I could do it was amazing.
What do you wish we could have seen more of at the Edge of Extinction?
I think definitely how hard it was. I've explained it to my close family and friends. And, you know, even if they showed entire hours of maybe entire hours would depict it, it is really hard to kind of show how hard Extinction is. It made my first season of Survivor feel like a luxury vacation. Nadia said when she saw me halfway through the game on the edge, I looked more wrecked than after the entire 39 days on San Juan del Sur, because I mean, I was winning rewards. We had rights. Extinction is a different beast. It is survival when it says the mental and physical grind and those extreme and conditions of temperature change and no food was insane. I think if they could have shown that. And also, I was doing a lot of spear fishing. I was basically a mermaid underwater spear fishing for my whole gym. Yeah, poor Dan tried feeding them. I would go out and get 10 fish at a time and come back to feed these guys, and they didn't show any of that.
Natalie, going back to San Juan del Sur, it seemed like the hardest time that you had in that game after once we got to the merge was when you went to Exile Island and you were alone by yourself for a period of time. And that's the one point in the game where you seem to have a little bit of a breakdown there in San Juan del Sur. What was that experience like versus the Edge of Extinction?
Oh my God, I was there for 48 hours, I think, and it seemed so bad. That was Edge of Extinction the entire time. One teaspoon of rice and no shelter by myself, basically. Edge of Extinction was that, which is crazy when I think about it now that I was able to last for 36 days on that kind of setting. I think Exile was really tough, and it was a really a pivotal moment in my gameplay. I came back with a vengeance. And so I think Edge of Extinction, being there as long as I did, as long as I was, it's now when I think about it, it's mind-boggling. Sometimes I just don't know how I kept that same kind of momentum the whole way through without either literally going bonkers or swimming away to one of the other islands.
So you ended up getting 4 votes from the people that you were with on the Edge of Extinction. Were you disappointed that more of the people that you spent so much time with didn't vote for you in the final tribal council?
Yeah, I was really surprised. I knew that it wasn't oh, I got this in the bag, Natalie, you totally won. But I definitely thought it was going to be closer, especially because I had heard that some of the guys wanted to vote for Michelle but didn't vote for her because they were so nervous that Tony would lose if their votes went to a Bernie. So it was a Bernie situation. Nobody wanted to throw votes at Michelle because they were so worried about the fight between me and Tony. And so
I thought it was going to be a closer race. I'm really surprised that Amber and Danny didn't vote for me. I don't even know what that's about. But
yeah.
I'm really proud. You know what? The people that did vote for me, it speaks so much. And I honestly, like, they're the best four people in the game anyway. And I think I got the votes of the best people that were on the jury. So I'm really proud of who voted for me, even though they were way less than Tony's vote.
We saw you buy an idol for Tyson last week, and that was a little surprising because I didn't see you on the show spending a lot of time with Tyson. Were you guys a lot closer on the edge of extinction than we realized?
Yeah, so Tyson, I think the number one reason I gave him, and I was debating between Tyson and Carr for that idol, and they both knew it, which was super awkward before I left, but I was super honest with both of them. I said, listen, I'm buying another idol. I don't want to buy advantages with my extra tokens for you guys, because that's like straight up giving you the opportunity to beat me. But what I can do to support you guys is I'm going to buy one idol, decide who I'm going to give it to, and then if you guys make it in, that's your protection in the game. The final decision making situation for me came down to me admitting that Tyson was the best player that could beat me on that beach, and I was right, because when you watch the episode, and I remember hearing Tyson was right by Wendell.
Mm-hmm.
So Tyson was an amazing person on the beach. He just made me laugh, and I think he reminds me a lot of myself. So we were close on Extinction for the time he was there, because Extinction really makes you bond. But what people don't know is in 2016, when I was dealing with my concussion recovery, I was in Provo for this like concussion camp where like MMA fighters, boxers, football players go. Obviously, I was like, I am going, because as you know, I was like kind of relentless in chasing my health. And
yes.
I had tweeted something about how I was going to be in Provo for this concussion treatment. And Tyson, who did not know me at all, opened up his house to me and let me stay in his house and like basically stay there while I was getting treatment. I mean, I would be gone all day at camp, concussion camp, I call it. But I would come home and I slept in his apartment. And this was, you know, just out of the kindness of his heart. And this was so long ago, there was no kind of like season on the horizon, nothing. And Rachel and his family and Bergen was so cute. And so I think subconsciously that had something to do with it. But at the end of the day, it was a strategic move. And I just knew if it wasn't me, he's who I could bet on to beat me and get into the game.
Yeah. Well, I know as well, Tyson's a great friend, so that it's easy to understand when you have the backstory as well.
Yeah.
I got to ask you about the fire making and the decision that you made. That did you have any idea if Tony was a strong fire maker or not when you decided to send it to be Sarah versus Tony?
No, they didn't make fire in front of me. I just assumed that Sarah could. I've seen Sarah make fire. And, like, obviously I can spin this however I want now to make myself feel better. But bottom line is I should have now. The thing that I have to try and move forward with the season is coming to peace with the decision to not make fire, because that's what's been haunting me for the last year, because I know if I made fire and if I beat Tony, I would have won $2 million no matter who I sat with that final six. With that final five options for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was half me just not being myself. And I think, you know, I was so mentally and physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted by that last day, that I was second guessing so many decisions, and that's not like me. My first season, I came up with a plan and I stuck to the band, AKA Keith Nail voice.
Yeah.
No, I stuck to my plan and I stuck to my guns in this season. After I got back onto the beach, those last 3 days left me so mentally and physically exhausted that I second-guessed my abilities with fire making, which I shouldn't have, because I was making fire on Extinction all the time. I just thought Sarah could pull it out. She was, you know, always talking about girl power, and I wanted her to be able to have the opportunity, and I thought the drive in her to beat Tony and, like, sit at the final three with me and Michelle was going to be good enough to motivate her, but she seemed like she wasn't even up for the challenge. Like, watching it was so awkward. I was like, is this girl even trying right now?
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that Chris Underwood screwed it up for you, because if he didn't go in and make the fire, everybody would say, but that's crazy. Why would nobody would give up immunity to go make the fire? That Chris ruined it for everybody that comes back from the edge.
Yeah, he did, because everybody was comparing him to me. But also, Chris had a very different story. That was the first year of Edge of Extinction, and, like, they didn't have as many opportunities to affect the game as I did. Like, I was able to do so much, and I got back in and also did a lot, so I felt like I didn't want to just be Chris Underwood, mm-hmm. and I thought that I had kind of spun my own story, and it was going to be enough for me to either win. It's like, I knew I would win if I went against Sarah and Michelle. Like, that's how I felt at the time. And then as soon as Sarah lost out, it was like, I was like, okay, now what, Natalie? Like, you know, so I don't know. It was really hard in that position. But bottom line is, like, I should have made five if I wanted to guarantee myself winning, but I could have also lost to Tony and then not even make final three. So I don't know. I'm going to have to make peace with this somehow, and I don't know when it's going to happen, but hopefully time will just help me move forward with that.
Yeah. Well, with all the different things that you've overcome, that I think that this will just be another thing you'll be able to move past, and I have no doubt about that. Let me ask another couple of quick questions. At the final six, when you had the chance to send Denise into the fire making potentially against Sarah, was that an easy decision for you to vote out Denise right there instead of send Sarah into the fire making against Denise?
No, it was really hard for me and Michelle because we held all the power there, and we talked. They didn't show it, but we talked a lot at Tribal. And basically, Denise was kind of really unwavering in her loyalty to Ben. And we thought that there was no way we would be able to mold Denise away from Ben. And Sarah seemed at the time more likely to vote with us against Ben. Like, I knew Tony was probably impossible. And Sarah could have been playing us wrong for God knows what. But, like, at that time, like, now I kind of wish we just either made them make five or vote off Sarah. But in hindsight, we just, like, were like, Sarah, like, can we rely on you to vote off Ben? Because we knew Sarah wasn't as close to Ben. I don't know. That was a decision me and Michelle, now we regret probably not voting off Sarah in that position.
One last thing that made me laugh from the episode last night. When you came back into the game, you talked about how you were not in the back seat anymore. You were driving, and I thought of...
Get in the back seat and let me drive.
Yeah.
Missy gone.
Missy had to put so many ideas in your head before you came back.
I know.
You're talking like Missy now. All right. Well, Natalie, I'm so proud of what you were able to accomplish, from the setback you had at the start of the game to become all the way to be the second place finisher in the all winner season. I think you did such an incredible job to make it back that far.
I know. It's pretty amazing. The only thing sweeter would have been if I was Nadia and myself the season, and I was first boot and winner. Just like my first season when Nadia was first boot and I won.
I know.
But either way, I'm still a bookend ending. I was like first and last, just like my first season, first and last, bookend of the season.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's perfect symmetry. Of course. Natalie.
Minus the money, obviously.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much. Hope we get the chance to talk some more about the season down the road.
All right. Let's do it, Rob. Thank you again.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Bye.
It's just so great to get to hear Natalie's voice again back on the podcast. She's so much fun to talk to. Definitely seems like that she is going through a hard time with dealing with losing the season. So it's a lot to handle, between being the first boot to spending all that time on the edge to coming back and knowing that you were so close to winning. But she's been through so much with everything that she's been through. I mean, she's a first boot on an amazing race season also, between the concussions, that she was going to be back for another season earlier on, and every single time she's gotten through that adversity and been able to come back even stronger. So I have no doubt that Natalie Anderson is going to be just fine after all this. And it's so great to get the chance to talk to her any opportunity that I have. Let's bring in the third interview that we're going to have here for you in this podcast, that I'm going to be speaking with Michelle Fitzgerald. Here's my interview with Michelle. Michelle, congratulations on everything you were able to accomplish this season. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Michelle, I also want to officially welcome you to the Third Place Club. It's not as prestigious as the Winners Club, I would imagine, but we have a newsletter, and I think you will enjoy it.
Oh, my God. I'm honored to be part of it. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Michelle, what was this ride like for you that you talked so much about your experience in Koh Rong and not getting the respect that you deserve as the winner of that season? What was it like for you to come back and make this deep run in Winners at War?
I honestly always felt that I deserved my win, but there was so much backlash and you can't help but let that get in your head a little bit. So I was kind of nervous going out there. Like, how do I stack up against these amazing competitors, these winners who played in all of these flashy ways? And so getting to the end just felt really validating to me. And I feel like everybody else also is starting to see that my journey is, I deserve to be there. So it felt wonderful. I'm honestly so honored. The outpouring of love today has been amazing.
Michelle, do you feel like that Natalie deprived you a real chance to put an exclamation point on your game by going into the fire making, by setting it up with Tony and Sarah as the people making the fire?
You know, I was really, up until when she had announced that Sarah was going to be the one to make the fire, I thought it was going to be me. She had told me all day that it was me going against Tony, and I was pretty freaked out. I was panicking a little bit. And I do know how to make fire, but it's so hard when you've been fighting for 39 days. And I felt like I constantly had to fight for my life. And it just was like, wow, I have to fight for my life again. So I think she saw me panicking and was like, I'd rather somebody with a more level head go instead. So she chose Sarah. I don't know if it would have changed the vote if I had one in fire. I'm not sure if that would have maybe got me second place or first place. So I don't know. I'm trying not to look back. I think Natalie's having a lot of regrets on that because mm-hmm. I think if she feels like if she competed, maybe she would have won, but coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, Michelle, but I believe that you were making fire in your original application video for Survivor, right?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, I remember.
I was in my living room. Yeah.
I thought it was going to this is going to come full circle. Michelle's going to make the fire. But you didn't get the chance there. Can you talk a little bit about when Natalie came back into the game, that there's this really exciting moment at the final six? You win immunity. Also, thank you for making me look very smart to my kids when I was like, guys, watch. I bet she's going to kick the puzzle. And then there you are again, just kicking it and then knocking over the puzzle, winning immunity. And so you and Natalie are immune. And then ultimately it comes up where that they don't listen to Tony. Everybody has to play their idols. And you could have forced the 2-2 tie potentially and sent Denise and Sarah to the fire making. Everybody just voted out Denise. Can you just talk us through? It looked like a very quick conversation that you guys had about why not send Sarah to a fire making at six against Denise.
Sure. Well, it was a much longer discussion than what they showed, obviously. And I think part of that was probably the Ben conversation that happened later. But essentially, we went to Denise and we went to Sarah. And Sarah had pledged to me and Natalie that if we voted Denise out in that tribal, then she would be able to come back and she would vote out Ben with us. So she had made an agreement with us at that point saying, listen, if you guys save me, then I'll save you next vote. And we agreed to it. And I think Ben had seen the writing on the wall. He kind of knew that Sarah had been turning on him, and he gave her the permission. And so there was a much more in-depth conversation with Sarah.
So going back to the vote that was before that, when it was the first final six before Natalie came out and came back and then Nick got voted out, was there any talk to mm-hmm. try to vote at either Tony or Sarah at that tribal council with you and Nick working with Ben and Denise?
Nobody wanted to talk to us.
Yeah.
When I say I was on the bottom, I mean, nobody was even looking at me. Like, I felt so alone in that game. I tried to talk to everybody. I pulled Ben aside. I said, Ben, I know we've been kind of on the outs for a while because we had a thing with Jeremy, but let's try to do something. I pulled Denise aside, but it was like a brick wall. There was absolutely no conversing with me at all. So there was nothing I could have done.
At the vote before that, you and Jeremy are having your backs against the wall. You end up using your 50-50 advantage. Michelle, a lot of us want to know, did you practice doing the coin flip to get it to come up safe?
How can you practice a coin flip? The reality is it's going to flip 50-50. That's mm-hmm. the name of it. I think I tossed it a few times and it was safe, and then it was not safe, and it was stressing me out. So I'm like, I'm not even going to try it. But I know people were like, oh, she, you know, flipping it on the podium. She didn't do enough spins. Like, what did you want me to toss it all the way up? So, like, it's planned anyway. You told me toss on the podium.
Yeah.
I did. I don't know.
We thought you gamed the system.
Listen, even if I had practiced, I was practicing on the ground. I didn't have a podium to practice on.
Yeah.
But and it ended my favor. So
yeah. Well, Adam told you that the podium was the idol, so that you knew that that was going to be for immunity. So can you help us understand a little bit more about your working relationship with Nick? Because it was very confusing to us, where it was like, okay, I get it. Nick and Michelle are a pair. They're working together. But then it seemed like that you guys went your own separate ways for a whole period after the merge. So how closely were you guys working together during the game?
We were probably best friends out on the island. So in that sense, you're working together, right? Because of course we're protecting each other. If I heard Nick's name, I would try my hardest to get it out of people's mouths, and same with him. The struggle was that I also was working with Jeremy, and for some reason, Jeremy and Nick just could not connect, and he was working with a different side. So the thing is, we wanted to work together, but our alliances and our allegiances just weren't in line, which is pretty frustrating. And we just couldn't get on the same page in a lot of the votes.
Michelle, that so many of us have been confused also going back to the tribal council where Tyson got voted out, and it was supposed to be 5-5. Jeremy leaves that tribal council and you end up voting for Tyson at that vote. And we were confused about whether or not were you a double agent? Did you flip at that tribal council? Did you just guess to vote for Tyson? Can you just talk us a little bit? Yeah.
No. So I mean, you'll see that it looks like I'm talking with Kin and like that group, but actually majority of that tribal council, I was kind of standing in the middle. I didn't want to commit one way or the other. It was pretty tricky because with Jeremy leaving, I'm like, well, where do I go? Which I have to choose a side. I was quite literally in the middle. So basically I went over, I gathered the information from the Sour group. I gathered the information from the Kim group. And I was like, I think that this is the way it's going to go. So I'm going to go with Nick on this one. So with Jeremy leaving, I was kind of at the mercy of the whispers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So going back to that final tribal council last night, were there any votes that you didn't get that you were disappointed that they didn't come through for you that you kind of thought that you might have had going in?
Absolutely not. I've said this before. Everybody came up to me after final tribal and they congratulated me. They, you know, Wendell, Adam, Nick, Danny, they all came up to me and told me, hey, we were going to vote for you. But there was whispers that a lot of votes were being thrown at Nada. So if those four had voted for me, if Natalie pulled a few random votes here and there, we could have faced Natalie winning, and really, ultimately, we wanted Tony to win this season, obviously. So for them to toss me a few votes to get, second place, that says I don't need second place. I want the right person to win, and that was what was most important to me. I wanted them to have an opportunity to put their votes with the person who they wanted to win the season. So no regrets.
So, Michelle, a lot of people have commented already in these last 24 hours since the episode that, look at you, Michelle, the only person to play two times. You've never been voted out, never been medically evacuated or have to leave the game for any reason. What does it feel like to be the only person who is the ultimate survivor that nobody can vote you out?
They just can't seem to get rid of me. I'm so honored that I got to play both seasons my whole 39 days through. And I think it's really awesome in a few ways. I got to see all 39 days, and then I also get to experience the full viewing experience with my family and friends. They get to see me play the game all 39 days. They get to group me on at Final Tribal. It's really such an honor. I am so grateful.
Okay. Michelle, well, I really appreciate you calling in and talking to us. I really hope we have the opportunity to have a longer conversation, because that I am dying to talk to you more about the entire season.
Yes, so I know. We'll have a good fun podcast conversation. Honestly, I'm struggling through a hangover tonight, so you don't have to include
what a
that,
shock.
But, you know,
I can't believe it. Not you.
What a shock. But I'm like, oh, great. I have to do all this press today, and I'm a hot mess.
Okay. All right, Michelle.
We'll have a better podcast experience.
You got it. Thank you so much. Okay?
All right. Thanks, Robert. Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it, Michelle Fitzgerald. You talk to Michelle Fitzgerald for a couple of minutes, and then you get everything that people say about being out there on the island with her. She's so much fun to get to talk to. Always a treat whenever we have her on the podcast for any opportunity. So hopefully we'll get to catch up with Michelle as well, with the classic Michelle Fitzgerald hangover as well. All right, before we get into my interview with Sarah, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at 1-800-CONTACTS. And 1-800-CONTACTS is a great service for people anytime, but especially right now, because if you're a contact lens wearer, it is very hard or even impossible for you to get more contact lenses from your eye care provider, since a lot of the stores are closed. Not to worry, 1-800-CONTACTS has your brand in stock, and they are ready to ship. 1-800-CONTACTS has been shipping contact lenses directly to people's homes for 25 years. They're experts in the industry, and they have 45 million contacts in stock and are shipping orders daily. It couldn't be simpler. You order the same contacts that you would get from your doctor. You just look on the side of your contact lens box for your prescription details. You can order online, over the phone, or with their app, and they ship them fast and free to your home. You can even review your prescription online using their express exam. My mom is a contact lens wearer. We were working with 1-800-CONTACTS for this sponsorship on the show. We said, Mom, hey, why don't you try this out? 1-800-CONTACTS. She was able to get online. She was able to order the same contacts that she would normally get if she had to go to her eye care provider, not having to leave the house, which is so important for so many people, especially people that are in the at-risk age group right now, who are especially trying to stay extra safe right now. So I certainly appreciate the convenience of 1-800-CONTACTS. They've also got award-winning 24/7 customer support. If you ever need help or have any questions, their best price guarantee means if you find contacts cheaper somewhere else, they'll beat it. And they have 45 million contacts in stock, so you're sure to find your brand. They've been doing this for 25 years. They're experts in vision care, so let 1-800-CONTACTS get you the contact lenses that you need. Order online at 1-800-CONTACTS.com. Again, that's the website, 1-800-CONTACTS.com, or you can also call 1-800-CONTACTS. That's 1-800-266-8228. All right. Very excited for my chat that you'll get to hear with Sarah Lacina, who ended up being the fourth place finisher. Here's my conversation with Sarah. Sarah, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning, Rob.
Yes, or should I call you Lacina now, or is that just Jeff?
I'll let you call me whatever you want. It should probably be Lacina, but I'll leave it up to you.
You got it.
You seem like a smart individual, so you should be able to make the correct
yes.
determination on that.
Well, Lacina, I just want to say that I was so super impressed with your game this season, and I felt like that we got to see more from you in this season than we saw in the show in your winning season in Game Changers, and I hope you take that as a compliment, because it's meant as one.
Well, thanks. I definitely think my moves in Game Changers were watered down a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and people didn't get to maybe get the full Sarah Lacina.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think this season is the most accurate portrayal of like who I am.
Yeah. Well, I was so impressed with how you were able to really turn things around in the early going when I'm seeing all of these players out there holding up their card of, oh, the first person I'm going to be voting off is Sarah. And it seemed like there was, you know, at least four or five people that came in and said, oh, well, first person I'm getting rid of is Sarah. And you were able to seemingly completely turn them all around with your social game.
Right. You know, I've preached for years that I have a great social game, and I've taken a lot of heat, been called delusional and whatnot. And it makes me laugh because, you know, I won Game Changers based on the relationships I made. And then I come into Winners at War, and yeah, my name was written down twice, but it was never by a majority of people. It was just Rob and Adam, and it was when they both went home. They weren't able to rally anybody else to vote for me. I never once in my Survivor career have had an individual immunity or an idol, so I'm vulnerable at every single tribal council, yet you saw my name written down twice in the past two seasons. I mean, I think that speaks volumes for where my social game is. And if people don't want to buy into that, it's totally fine with me. Because, like I said, I know where it stands. So
watching the season, so many of us were curious in terms of your plan with Tony, whether or not that you felt like, okay, the best course of action was that you were going to sit down next to him and you were going to make the case of why it should be you over Tony, or were you ever considering or hoping that maybe Tony would get knocked out along the way? That it seems like, based on the finale, that it was going to be that you wanted to be sitting there with Tony at the end of the game. Do we have that right?
Yeah. So, you know, going into the season, I don't think people like Tony and I, you know, we get done with Survivor, we go back to our lives. In fact, you know, I went to work today.
Wow.
And so, you know, crime doesn't stop because you get fourth place on Survivor. Okay. Mm-hmm. It might have stopped if I won Survivor and the 2 million, maybe I wouldn't be at work today, but no. So that's just it. I don't go to all these events. And so Tony and I knew that was a hurdle coming in, that we're so far removed. You know, he got off social media the last time and whatnot. And then you have all these people that are connected. And so we knew going in, hey, we've got to look out for each other. And, you know, I think we had made a bond outside of the game that we weren't willing to break our real life bond over the game. So as we're playing, you know, obviously our dream was to sit in the end together. Mm-hmm. And when I make the case for myself that, you know, I'll go to the end with Tony, I think people overlook, they think they're stacking Sarah and Tony up just side by side. 100%, hands down, Tony beats me if you compare Sarah and Tony's games. Mm-hmm. You know, he won 4 immunities. He had an idol. We pulled off our moves together. He had the Sophie vote, but I had the Ben vote, you know. So, but regardless, he beats me. But it's a final three. It's not a final two. Mm-hmm. And that's my point going in is, yeah, it's a final two. He destroys me. He wins unanimously. Okay. But when it's a final three, especially against the correct person, Tony and I are splitting votes.
Yeah.
My social bonds, if I sit in the end, you know, Ben, I get his vote 100%. He's going to be a loyal voter to me regardless. Denise, you know, she says in her exit press that Sarah has my vote. There are so many people that would have stayed loyal to me, and then you see all these people staying loyal to Natalie, like, you know, 4 people that voted for her.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
We wind up in a split vote situation, and then at that point, depending on numbers, you might see Natalie walk off with the win, and actually Tony receiving the least amount of votes not because he didn't deserve the win, but just the way the numbers were shook out.
Yeah. We were trying to talk that through last night of, yeah, that scenario where it's you and Tony and then also Natalie, because then I think you also have people like Sophie and Kim. And then I thought that, especially after the conversation that was had at Tribal Council that you brought up with Jeff about the idea of gender bias, I think that probably that it seemed like that there were a lot of people on the jury that were also like looking at you in a different light after that conversation. I know it's something that's important to you. Was that like the start of your final tribal council speech from a couple of tribal councils early, so it wasn't all just something that people would be able to like just sit with for an hour, but have a couple days to think about?
Yeah, and that was 100% what I was doing. You know, once Natalie got back in the game, well, Michelle first, you know, gives us the perception that, hey, you know, this is how I perceive it. I perceive Tony's running the show. So then when Natalie gets back in the game, it's day 36 and she really confirms it. And it's, hey, the jury, you know, Tony's calling the shots. You're following him, this, that, the other thing. And Michelle's 100% right. Perception is reality. And I'm going, oh, wait a second. But I know what's going on. Like, yeah, Tony's in the tree, but I'm sending the people there. Or I'm starting the conversations and pulling the information out of them, and he's listening to it. Like, at what point is, I guess, sitting up in a tree versus actually, like, interrogating somebody?
Right.
I mean, you know, so I'm just, that's how I feel, though. But people don't know, people don't see that. And I've been on the jury before, and when you walk in on day 39, the decision's pretty well made. So I knew at that point, look, Natalie's made it clear, this is what the jury thinks. If I have about 3 days to change their minds, I wait till day 39, I'm a goner. So mm-hmm. That's when I started my campaign. And the whole, what you didn't see was like, what started the whole gender bias discussion was she really, Natalie hammered the fact that Rob was saying terrible things about me on the edge. And I was like, what? And I played the game with the guy for like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't even talk to like me and Sophie. He treated us pretty poorly out there. And I'm going, why is he talking any smack about me? I remember sitting at the tribal council where thought he was sending me packing. And he's telling me, you know, it's a numbers game, and you should respect the gameplay. And basically what he was saying was, I'm voting you out, but when I'm sitting in the final three, you better vote for me and respect my game move. Well, unfortunately for Rob, he was voted out, but then all he's doing is talking smack, and it's like, dude, you just are being a complete hypocrite of what you just preached.
Mm-hmm.
But when the roles were reversed, I was supposed to respect you. You're being so disrespectful to me. You're not respecting my game move, which was way more impressive than had you voted me out. You have the numbers. You have the majority going in. You know, so I guess that's what lit the fire under me, is I'm going, you know, this is BS. And leaving game changers, you know, people are like, oh, she's like cutthroat. And I know I hurt Andrea Belke really bad and Sierra Don Thomas. And it's like, but that did not come from an evil place in my heart at all. And it's bothered me to, like, I couldn't grasp how Tony could betray Trish, but yet people forgave him for that. And he's a legend and he's a boss and this and that. But when I do it, now I'm this terrible person. And so it really has been like deep wounds that I've carried around since Game Changers. Mm-hmm. That it just kind of all came to light then. And I'm like, you know what? It's not me. This is what it is. It's the fact that men don't want to get beat by women. And in fact, women don't want to get beat by women, because I've never even met poverty out there. And three people that were on the edge of extinction had told me since the games ended that all she did was badmouth me. We never even played together. Mm-hmm. What do you have to say about me? And it just goes to show that People can't be happy for other people's success because they're afraid it makes them look worse. And that's the bottom line. And it's fine, but I wanted to, you know, I'm glad I was able to shed some light on it and say, hey, like, give credit where credit's due. Let's stop this whole, it doesn't matter if you're a guy, a girl, whatever. We're all allowed to do the same thing.
Yeah, and it's such an interesting conversation. I thought you had a really great secret scene over the course of the season with Kim, where you guys were talking about that and what it was like. And this, you know, it's kind of the same thing, but in that conversation, it wasn't the part about being a woman and being a winner. It was just the part about being a winner and how people make you feel when you are the winner, that maybe like you've done, like you're a bad person for winning. And what I wanted to ask you about that was that does that come from the other players, or does that come from the fans watching, or is that from both?
It's absolutely from both. You know, it comes from the players, and rightfully so, they're hurt. And then it comes from the fans. And like I said, if you're a real genuine person, it should bother you. Mm-hmm. If people think that you're being disingenuous, if it doesn't bother you, then there's probably an issue and you might not be that good of a person, you know? And the fact that, you know, and that's kind of what Kim talked me through is, you know, like I said, I carried that around for 2 years. I still feel bad. And, because it's not human nature to be a jerk to people. And that's kind of sometimes what you have to do on Survivor is backstab your best friend.
Yeah.
Not because you hate them or because you're fake, but because only one person can win. And so if that comes easy to you, that's the person that needs to reevaluate. When it's hard to you, then I think it means you're living your life the right way.
Sarah, that I hope that we have an opportunity to have a longer conversation, because I have so many questions that I want to talk to you about from the course of the season. I understand that you're very busy. I want to thank you also for the job that you're doing, especially now in this very crazy time to be out there and as a essential worker in the police force. Really appreciate everything that you're doing.
Well, thanks, Rob. And definitely, let's hook up later and have a longer chat about this, because definitely other, you know, behind the scenes or stuff that didn't get shown that I'd love to let the fans hear about, and any questions they have, answer them.
Yeah, would love to do it. All right, Sarah, stay safe and talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, Ron.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Lacina here on the podcast. A very interesting conversation about a lot of the stuff that came up in the episode last night. And I do hope that we'll have the opportunity to continue to have that conversation with Lacina down the road. All right. Next up, we have Ben Driebergen. Very excited to talk to Ben today. I do want to apologize that we didn't have the greatest phone connection with Ben here today. So I apologize a little bit for it's a little in and out with Ben, but I think that you'll be able to make out everything that Ben is talking about with us here today. So here's my interview with Ben. Hey, buddy, what's going on?
What's going on, brother? Roberto.
How are you doing?
Good. I'm watching squirrels play and robins eat worms out of the yard. Looks good, dude.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How could I be doing bad? I'm talking to you guys today. This is very exciting.
You're busy, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's been a fun morning. Anyway, Ben, I want to talk to you about your experience here in this season. First off, how are you doing with everything? Because I feel like that people were giving you a hard time this season.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm doing fantastic, man. With the whole deleting Twitter thing, it basically came down to like time, right? And then we realized how much time you just indulge into social media,
yeah,
when you're
bro,
on these shows and stuff. And so,
yeah.
So it came down to time. And you know, it's the hate, and there's a lot of positivity to it and a lot of support. And so, you know, it gets people talking about the show, and it's kind of the territory and the trade of the job, right? So yeah. It's all good, and I just try to stay positive, and I got a lot of good things in my life, and that's what I focus on.
Yeah. Ben, so I would love to talk through with you the decision that you made last night where you gave Sarah permission that if she wanted to go through with voting you out, that you were going to be okay with that. We were talking about this last night. Was that sort of like a jury read on your part where you're like, hey, I don't think I got this one. Sarah, I think you have a chance to do this if you take my spot.
100%. You know, with, like, you hear me talking about not making friends and stuff like that. That's the truth, you know, with, you see all these tokens getting passed to everyone around you, and everybody's getting idols and advantages and Houdini, you know, let's get up and leave, you know, and you're not getting any of this. So there's obviously a lack of respect or whatever way you want to look at it, you know. And that's the way I read it. And with Natalie coming back in the game, you know, she battles back in, and I'm like, good job, girl. And she's like, yeah, thanks for voting me out. So that right there is like, I know how she's feeling. That's probably the perception of the jury. And I know that, like, you know, at this point, I worked so hard on getting me and my alliance to the game, and I built relationships and then burned relationships. And unfortunately, it's a game of Survivor. But I worked so, you know, and I didn't think that I would get any votes from anybody, especially sitting next to Tony and Sarah as well, right? And Tony was my number two. Sarah was my number one. And I got to the point in the game, you know, I'm physically drained. I was hurt. I was, you know, you see the three of us out there, you know, and Michelle as well. But we have sunken faces. We got twigs for arms. And then with Natalie coming in all peanut buttered up with idols in her pocket, like, it was a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And so all my goal at that point was at least get our alliance to the end, some way, shape, or form. And yes, the three of us probably could have got there. But I wanted to make sure Tony or Sarah would win. And coming off the end of the season and seeing what Chris did, that was a real threat of what Natalie was doing, you know. And so if Sarah could take Tony out, then that's my number one, and the alliance wins. And if Tony takes Sarah out, that's my number two, and our alliance wins. And so that's the way I looked at it. I wanted to come in the season building an alliance and get all of us to the end. And, you know, that's what we did. But, like, you still have to take the game into account. And when I finally took the game into account, I realized I couldn't win. And what's the next best thing is get my buddy Sarah there, you know. And then what's the next best thing after that? The king of Survivor, Tony, you know, like, getting it all to himself, right? Like,
yeah.
So it all works out. It works out for us as castaways. It works out for us as viewers. It works out for us as an alliance. And so in my head and in my book, it's a win-win. And that's what it boils down to, is what is it, what's going to happen in my head, right? If I get to the end and I get drug across the coals by all these old schoolers and everything like that, because maybe I was misunderstood during the game, and maybe I also did things that weren't appropriate and I could have changed. But either way, coming home being like, coming home and trying to process that, right? And then having $2 million hanging over your head, and then looking at social media and looking what people are saying about you, and hey, am I going to win $2 million? That's a lot to process. You look, you know, Tony and Michelle and Natalie, right? They all had to deal with that kind of stress, and that's a lot for everybody. And I've worked so hard on staying positive in my life, and yeah, being able to help a friend out or a couple friends is more important to me, right?
Yeah.
We struggle, like, you know, and so that was my, you know, and I, like, maybe I did counter too much to build relationships, and that's kind of what screwed the pooch on making $2 million. But look at what I did the first season. I wanted to go out and win $1 million, and I did, right? And I wanted to win $2 million this time too. But, you know, sometimes you got to take a look at your life and be happy with what you have, and not, you know, push everybody out of the way when you're trying to get to the end and think about others, you know?
Yeah, that's really interesting what you're talking about with the, you know, the not knowing of like sitting in the final three and maybe I don't think I won, but is there a chance? And then you have sort of have that hanging over your head
right, for
a year. And so you sort of went through the different experience with that where you, it was going to go in your favor, but I don't know if you knew definitely going into the final tribal council of HHH. And so as somebody who's been through that once before, you kind of didn't want to part of that, especially when it was probably, you know, odds on that you weren't going to be the winner.
Obviously, exactly. And yeah, going into the finale of HHH, I did not know I'd won, right? Like, Ryan played an incredible game, and so did Chrissy, and the jury was very good at not being happy with me, right? And so
right.
I didn't know I had won, and going through that, yes, correct, the first time, and then doing it the second time, sitting next to Tony and Sarah, right? Like, can you imagine that, right?
Right.
you know, my Survivor journey started because I sat on the couch, watched a show, borrowed an iPad and made a video because I thought I could do it better, right? And then I went out and won it and found three idols and played them correctly, right? Ryan, you know, my Survivor encyclopedia said that, you know, I played four idols correctly, which is pretty cool. But then to go out and play with all these winners and all these people that I watched win on Survivor and whether or not I liked their win or was those were the people that I was like, I could do it better. I got to play with these people, both, you know, old school, new school, legends and new legends and old. We're all legends in one way, shape, or form, right? We've all won, and so that was an honor.
Mm-hmm.
To go out and experience, right? You're sitting there on the Jeff giving us a toast, right, with the wine, and everybody's looking for food and everything, and he's like, no, this is just a nice gesture, and to look down at the very end and see, you know, 19 legends was incredible, so... It was pretty neat.
Let me ask you about some of the relationships that you had over the course of the season. The relationship with Denise was, I thought, very interesting, where it started out in the beginning. You showed her how to find the idol, and we said, oh, this is really interesting. Okay, Ben and Denise. Then you guys were separated and seemingly like on the other sides of alliances where you were with Tony and Sarah and she was working with Kim and Jeremy. And it seemed like that you guys were not connected at that point in time. But then towards the end of the game, it's like, oh, wait, Ben and Denise is still a very strong relationship in the game. Was that one straight line or was there sort of that you guys fell out and then got back together?
No, we were always together, you know, and we talked about it and we kept each other's like relationship of how close we were kind of to a low, you know, because we had talked about how me helping her find an idol, right? We did it together. She found the idol, you know, but, you know, I didn't go out looking for idols on day one, but I knew they were out there. And so how can I go out and try to find an idol? I got to convince someone to be like, hey, let's go find an idol. So she was like, yeah, let's go do it. And so that built us a great bond from that point on. And yeah, we were on the wrong side of the votes. And the one that really hurt her was the Kim vote.
Yeah.
And we got back to camp and she was just wrecked. And I remember just holding her and, you know, and she's like, did you vote? And I was like, I did. And so it was like that hurt her, you know, but then she realized that like, hey, this is a game. And that's where her endure and let go thing, you know, came from. And it's really, really positive way to look at things. And so that's why I picked that up as well, because it's just you endure things, right? We all go through some sort of tragedy or whatnot, but it's okay to let go of it. And so for her in that game, in that moment, that was real for her. And she really got hurt by that. And so that's where that whole came from. And just being able to be on the wrong side of that, but, you know, have that human connection still with her and give her a hug while she's crying and you know, get her to cheer up a little bit was really important for me. And so that was neat. But yeah, we all the way to the end. And that's why I didn't want to vote her out either.
Right.
Because yeah, we could have done it. Yeah. We could have saved our idols, but I sway too much to the personal side. And I really do care for Mama D and Tony and Sarah and Michelle as well. Right. And Sophie. And so many other people, like, you know, but those couple there are friends for life, and that's pretty cool.
Tell me about that Kim vote, because that we didn't really know in terms of like talking it through and watching the show. Did you flip your vote at Tribal Council? Did you go into that Tribal Council?
No,
you didn't.
No,
okay,
no.
So
no.
What was all the whispering?
No, not at all. So exactly, Rob. Exactly. But that's the thing, though, is like, I mean, I sat still for the most part of the whispering, right? Because I didn't want to be perceived as paranoid, which look how well that came off, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's you know what it is, though? It's reassurance, because you look at Survivor and you don't know what's going to happen, right? Who would have thought, I'm kind of jumping around here, but like, you know, Jeremy getting up and leaving, what's the 50-50, so you just don't know, right? And so I think the tribal is legitimately just reassuring what the plan is, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was some cases where I think Nick was let in on the vote at tribal or whatnot, but you know, it's just, it's more of a reassurance, because the game is so crazy and you don't really know what's going on. And this game was so fast, Rob. It was like things were changing on a dime. And I know it was confusing and yet, but that's really how fast, like, Slay was incredible. And we played so hard, so fast, fast Slay. And that really, like, I mean, it drained us there. And then, yeah, just a crazy game. And so you just kind of got to, you know, dot your I's and cross your T's at the tribal. And I think for a lot of people that have been in the whispering situations, it's more comfortable for them to get that out of the way, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's why whispering happens.
Okay. How are you and Jeremy now?
I mean, I love Jeremy. I love Jeremy as a human, and I love Jeremy as a super player and as a winner. You know, and I have the utmost respect for him, it was a crazy game, and there was a lot of emotion, and we're both very competitive players. And I think that, like, once our, here's the deal with Jeremy, and I talked about it a little bit before, but I'll just, like, day one, I see all these greats out there and everyone out there, and I'm trying to get an alliance going, because I have no pregame alliances, have not talked to anybody or anything like that. And it's like I'm feeling like on the out since our Jeremy being a firefighter. I thought we could connect that way. And so we're down on the beach talking. Long story short, I'm like, I want to align with you. If you and I can get together, get through the merge, we can hook up with Tony and Sarah and do like a Heroes alliance, right?
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, I like that. I like that. That's cool, you know, and everything. And I was like, and then I turn around and walk up the stairs and I look back and Jeremy's giving me the thumbs, like, who the hell is this guy? Excuse me, who the heck is this guy, to the camera, right? And he's rolling his eyes, and I caught him doing it, dude. And I was like, Jeremy, what are you doing, man? And he's like, oh, I'm just sorry. You know, I'm just doing my thing. You know, it's just, I'm like, okay. So then from then on, I never trusted Jeremy. But still, I had to work with Jeremy. And that's why, like, I wanted Rob gone, but, like, I would express my views, but I wasn't going to, like, push him. And so that's why, like, we built, like, this relationship, but I never fully trusted him. Now, I think he grew to trust me throughout the game. And so once that trust was broken, like, I think that we just started butting heads because of that, right?
Yeah.
Because you do build relationships out there, right? And he's like, he called me his number one, right? So maybe he thought me, maybe he thought he had me as his number one, whether he believed it or not, but maybe he thought that I was, like, his number one. And when that, you know, leash or whatever was ripped out of his hand, that's what maybe sucked for him. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, because it is a numbers game. But I have the utmost respect for him, and I think he played a fantastic game, you know? So,
yeah.
How could I take Jeremy to the end? His friends are sitting over there.
Right?
Why would you even toy with the fact of, like, we could just get him out next vote, you know? And so the one for one was the Kim and the Jeremy vote, and that's because of the Tony-Sarah alliance that we had made at the merge, and that's kind of how that deal went down, right? Because Kim is fantastic, too. She's a social butterfly. I'd wake up, you know, and she'd wake up, everybody wake up, and she'd go around and just, you know, like, everyone was a flower, and she'd go over there and just talk, check in with them. I'm like, oh, man, you know, she's really good at what she does. It's very subtle. And so that's why it's like, you know, and you plant a seed or paint the target, and sometimes you paint it too soon, and sometimes you paint it a little. But the fact of the matter is both those two are sure threats. They're going to get votes, and either way, like, they got to go, right? Because that's, even though they're great people, but that's why they're so, like, such a threat, because they're so likable, right?
Yeah.
And their friends with the pens over there got their names waiting to write them down, right? And so,
yeah,
for me, I'm not going to ride that train.
Yeah. No, I get it. I'm sure it's frustrating when there's so many good players that are out there. How do you get rid of all of them?
Exactly. What do you do, right?
Yeah. Everybody's good.
When you're the guy that nobody respects, and your win was tainted, like, you really got a busted butt out there, you know. And same with Michelle, she busted her butt out there too. And so it was fantastic to see her getting hurt. Like, she won those two immunity challenges when she needed to. So, yeah. And it was really awesome. Hey. Really awesome all the way around. And Tony played an incredible game.
Yeah.
And the way it's supposed to end, right? Season 40, all winners. You got Tony and Sandra sitting up there. And that's pretty neat.
Yeah. Well, Ben, I always love to get to talk to you. So anytime you want to talk some more about this stuff, I'd love to do it.
All right, buddy. Yeah, you take care,
get
man.
Get some wand offs,
stay
maybe.
Stay positive, yeah. Too, while you're doing this stuff. Yeah. Get some wand.
Yeah.
Love the wand offs. The wand offs are fantastic.
Okay. All right. Ben, all right, you take care, buddy. All right?
All right, man. Take care.
All right, everybody, there you have it, Ben Driebergen. I always think that Ben is a lot of fun to talk to. That's why I always try to be a Ben defender when people are giving him a hard time. Look, for everybody that says, hey, oh, the idols are planted. They just wanted to give Ben idols. Well, for Ben and Tony last night, the idols were nowhere to be found last night. That was Natalie who came up with the idols. So I thought that was actually like a good moment for the two of them, that it's not like they can just... Hey, here's an idol whenever you need one. Those guys had to work to find the idols that they found. And they showed you last night that it's actually, it can be hard to find the idol sometimes as well on Survivor. All right, let's bring in our final interview of this podcast, which is going to be with the great Denise Stapley. And I do want to apologize again that the connection was not perfect here with Denise. So just know that going in. But here is my conversation with Denise Stapley. Mama D, I'm so happy to be getting the chance to talk to you.
I know, it's been a while, hasn't it, Rob?
I know, it's been a minute, but I see you on my TV screen, and I see that you're doing great. Everybody's holding up okay on your end?
We are. We're doing good. I think we're kind of wired for all of this COVID pandemic stuff, and so we're doing good here at home.
Okay. Well, Denise, congratulations on everything that you did in this season. Of course, most notably, becoming the Queen Slayer.
Thank you. That is not what I envisioned having happen this season, but it's a lot better than, you know, having another season where I go down in history for having one of the worst tribes in Survivor history. It's something a lot nicer to put on the resume, that's for sure.
Yeah. Denise, that if you had to go up against your hometown friend, Sarah, in firemaking, who's going to end up winning that competition?
You know, I don't know, because she was doing pretty good with fire, but we both, I think, went out prepared. You know, I never made fire out on the island. I have a feeling she'd probably beat me, but I definitely practiced fire in the garage, which is, you know, really safe to do in Iowa.
Yeah.
Or any place, actually.
Denise, we saw you and Sarah and Ben talking in last week's show about that. Like, hey, this should be the final three. How close was that to actually happening?
You know, I would love to think in my own head that I'm, you know, so convincing and so strategic that I'd convince them to come on board and to cut Tony. But I think I knew in my gut of guts, you know, it's that goal, just trying to plant a seed of possibility.
Yeah.
But I knew that, you know, alliance between the three of them, it was solid. Like, it was literally probably not going to be broken up. So I think I was just trying to plant the seed and see what happened. And little did I know that, doggone it, Tony was up in that stupid tree.
Yeah. Did Sarah know he was up in the tree? Was this did they lead you into this entrapment scenario?
You know what? I have no idea. I honestly have absolutely no idea. I didn't even know he was up in the tree until I watched it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he was up in the tree. So I saw it with everybody else. So, you know, and clearly that is what he had been doing, you know, throughout the season, from, you know, early to call all the way, you know, to, you know, the end of the season. So no, I had no idea.
Yeah. Denise, could you tell us a little bit about your path in the once you guys got to the merge? Because I think that it was hard to figure out exactly where you were in things, where it seemed like that you were with the people from your swap tribe with Jeremy and Kim at a certain point. But it seems that you also have the relationship with Sarah and with Ben. So can you just talk through a little bit about like once you got to the merge, where you saw your game and the people that you were with?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I think you're as confused as I'm confused because that's how this whole season was. The parts were constantly moving. You know, it was so different than from my first season out where it was, you know, tribe of six, and I kind of had my locked in alliance with Malcolm, and then that went on throughout the game in different ways. This season was totally different. So, you know, you're right, you saw me have kind of some alliances with Adam and with Ben, you know, initially, and then I tried to connect with Kim and Jeremy because it was constantly regrouping. It was like I had a new hand of cards that I needed to try and figure out how I was going to play every time those swaps happened. So when we came into the merge, it was like everything came together and I had to figure out what I needed to do or what I could do. And again, the parts were just moving so fast. It was quite honestly hard for me to keep track of, but I was definitely trying to kind of play multiple tracks where I was keeping an alliance with Ben, who was in tight with Sarah and with Tony. I was also trying to keep in tight with Kim, but I think I didn't realize how tight she was in possibly with Tyson. And, you know, I mean, the parts, again, constantly moving. Even with Sophie at one point, I mean, we were all, I think, just trying to find any place to get our hook in to hang on.
Mm-hmm. I know that people gave you a hard time with the moment in the season that happened where you're at the tribal council and there's all the whispering going on and Jeremy goes to whisper to you and you basically say like, enough. I'm done talking. I'm ready to vote. And I know that some people thought that this kid's coming across like you have a problem with Jeremy, and that is not the case, correct?
That is 100% not the case. You know, I love Jeremy.
You played an idol on him.
I played my idol. I played my idol for him. You know, he's fantastic, and I love him as a person. And, you know, I had wanted to build an alliance with him. But at that point in the game, again, there's this cat and mouse game that happens, you know, 24/7. And I have really figured out, and it's definitely a downfall for me in the game, but I've figured out I am not wired to manage that at that pace for that long. You know, in therapy, I'm trying to figure out a story from one person and I'm constantly able to check that and, you know, go back and forth. But this was, okay, who's telling me the truth? And so what you saw at, you know, what everybody saw at that tribal council was the culmination of much more than 7 minutes that, you know, or 10 minutes, however many minutes we see on TV. It's the culmination of a tribal council that was once again chaotic. I thought I'd gone in with a plan. The plan was changing. I was trying to pay attention to a conversation on my left. I was getting tapped on the shoulder behind my back. And the mom part of me, and, you know, people get mad about that. You know, hey, it's like, it wasn't meant to be disrespectful,
yeah.
You know, and I was just exhausted and done. Like, I was just done.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But it has nothing to do with Jeremy. You know, I don't know what he, and maybe he thinks it is, but no, it had nothing to do with him personally.
So going back to the tribal council where you and Kim finally say, okay, you know what? We love Jeremy, but all right, we got to move on. We're going to vote. We're going to be part of a vote split and we're going to split the votes against Michelle and Jeremy. And then we're going to ultimately work with Sarah and Ben on this vote. And Tony ends up getting Nick and Michelle and Jeremy and they vote out Sophie. Could you try to walk me through how is this game different if Jeremy goes home that night and Sophie stays in the game?
I think if Jeremy goes home that night, you know, they were looking at shields, you know, these players that had bigger targets. And I think I would have had a better chance. You know, I think in terms of getting into an alliance with Sophie a little bit more and trying to connect that with Kim or with Sarah, I think there just would have been a few more moving parts for me versus Jeremy. Jeremy, you know, Tony, you know, you hear them talk about it, you know, how they wanted to keep them around, you know. Tony wanted to keep Jeremy. Jeremy wanted to keep Tony, you know, as shield. And so I think it would have given maybe a little bit of a leverage, or maybe a thought of, hey, okay, maybe now we've gotten out, you know, one big target. Maybe it's time to go after Tony. Maybe it's time to go after somebody else who, you know, is clearly playing the game incredibly hard.
Denise, that you changed the game so much that night when you voted out Sandra with, you played your two idols and you cast that vote for Sandra, knocking Sandra out of the game. But Sandra's plan was vote out Tony. Now, had you gone with the Sandra plan and voted out Tony, completely blows up the entire game, because we know what Tony goes on to do. Have you thought about that at all, of what happens if you vote out Tony that night instead of Sandra?
Again, you know, I would, again, love to sound incredibly strategic, but I didn't, only because, you know, I've been watching, you know, along with, you know, so many other fans, from when Survivor started. So I've watched Sandra play multiple times, and her MO, you know, her mode of operation is always, as long as it's not me. So the minute she offered something up to me, after being really resistant, you know, saying like, yeah, you know, pretty much for a tight alliance and you're going to be voted out, you know, I just had this doubt about the intentions of what she wanted from this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was really trying to build an alliance with Jeremy, and I was trying to pull Kim in, and I was trying to feel out Kim on, you know, who would she trust more, Tony or Sandra. And for whatever reason, crazy or not, I trusted Tony over Sandra. And so I honestly never did. I never considered voting him out. And as soon as she mentioned him and the possibility to throw him under the bus or Jeremy, even more so, I was like, yeah, no, this isn't about doing just something nice for me. This is what's in it for her. You know, also, so, or at least that was how I perceived it at the time.
We talked about at the time that there was also part of the deal was, okay, I'll give you one fire token now, and then I'll give you another fire token after the tribal council. Was any part of that where it was, there was a second fire token that you would have had to give after the tribal council to Sandra? Was that any more of an incentive for you to knock Sandra out?
Incentive for me to knock Kim out really didn't have anything for me to do with the fire tokens, or to get one or to keep one. It was really more, how can I make sure that I don't look like an idiot on national TV? I think, quite honestly, like, I want to have something that I feel like she's willing to give up, or, you know, not get her full payment until, you know, I needed some kind of leverage. So that's really all that it was. So at that point, I really, you know, none of us really knew, you know, I didn't know to the extent that those fire tokens were, you know, being played. We'd seen the menu, you know, that we'd seen at camp, but I had no idea what was happening with them on the edge. So I didn't realize, you know, yeah, it wasn't motivated by that, like, kind of keep one more. It was just, I needed the leverage to make sure that this was real.
Yeah. We saw you talk about endure and let go, and how that you needed, you were not a tattoo gal. Goofy gal, yes. Tattoo gal, no. And you said, I need two tattoos. Endure and let go. And we've seen the pictures, and you got them. How soon after the season ended did you go out and get the endure and let go tattoo?
I came home, and I think I made, let's see, I called a friend maybe the next day, but I had an appointment actually at one of our local places here within the week of coming home. And, you know, and I was so anxious to get them. I would have gotten them the next day, you know, had been able to when I got home. But no, within a week I had them, and I love them. So they're like the best thing I've done. So I love it. Well, not the best thing, but
yeah. Yeah. Has endure and let go been practical advice during this crazy time with the coronavirus?
It has, completely. You know, endure and let go. You know, we're out there. You know, and I had no idea, you know, clearly I had no idea that this was where we were going to be, you know, a year later, that we'd be stuck in our house and everybody, you know, maxed, you know, stressed to the max, and, you know, mentally challenged in a whole different way. But it has, it's become really, and it's one of those things that has, it's been meaningful for me, but it's even just after watching it unfold, you know, in the last couple of weeks, you know, and hearing feedback about what the tattoos have and what those moves have meant for other people, it's just, it's given it even more, you know, just so much more meaning for me. But it, yeah, it's really pertinent right now with everything that's happening.
Yeah. And Denise, that I just love that your journey came full circle from where you stood on that beach on the day one or two with Zane Knight, and he and you looked at him and you said, I can tell by his tattoos that he has that he's lost somebody, he has pain, that, and you were able to take away his story from his tattoo, and your survivor journey culminates in your story being tattoos for you.
It's a pretty cool circle, isn't it? Like, I had, again, never did I think that it would end up with tattoos, but tattoos really do. They tell a story. And I remember that with Zane and just being like, wow, this guy's interesting. And what did these mean? And, you know, and looking at those, and now to have my own and know that there is, you know, there's a very deep story behind that for me, and clearly other people can take whatever meaning they want from it. But yeah, I love that that's come back to the circle.
Yeah. Last question: was it close for you at all with either of the other candidates in that final tribal council, or was it Tony all the way for you?
It was Tony all the way for me. He epitomizes what Survivor, you know, especially in season 40, for me, he just epitomizes the brand. He is the Survivor player. You know, he is wired for this. You know, I described at the end of the season, you know, we got to sit down with Jeff and I said, you know, this was crazy. I'm exhausted. This was like being on an island with a bunch of serial killers and you don't know, you know, who's okay and who's not. And it's horrible, but I likened him, you know, and other people out there, to Ted Bundy. I'm like, you know,
oh, no.
They're so likable that they can, like suck you into their car. And before you know it, you're dead, you know, and because they're so good at it.
Yeah.
But, you know, clearly Tony is not a serial killer and he's not, but that's what it's like out there. You just don't know because they're, you know, he was so good at the game. And no, I have nothing but mad respect for the game that he played and just humbled to have been a part of this season at all. So it was great.
Okay. Well, Denise, thank you so much for coming on and spending some time with us today. It was so great to see you back out on Survivor this season, that I know I can speak for so many of the Survivor fans. And anytime you want to talk Survivor some more, well, I would love to do it. I'd take any opportunity to chat some more, Denise.
You got it. You know I would love to, and you know I love listening to rap. So
thank
you. Keep doing what you're doing.
Okay. All right.
You got it.
I miss our chats, Denise.
I know. Like, I know, because I can ramble.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Stay safe. Take care, okay?
You too. Thanks, Rob. Bye.
Okay. Bye. All right, everybody. There you go. Denise Stapley. And I don't know if it's coming through on the podcast, but I've had so much fun this morning getting to catch up with so many of the people that we've come to watch. And it's been really, really fun to do these interviews today. So really, what a great cast. I've seen it called the greatest reality TV cast. I'm going to sign on to that. That was really great. So much fun to hear from everybody on this podcast today. But we are just getting started, because I am going to catch up with Allie Lasher and answer your feedback here later on this afternoon. Very excited about all of that and getting into what everybody has to say from our questions that you guys are sending in. So we'll talk about that with Allie Lasher. Taryn Armstrong is going to have his Taryn's Survivor update later on in the day. I'll be joining him also when he takes a look one last time at his Legacy Watch, and I'll get to see how you guys are voting on all of that. Plus, this weekend, we'll have Kellen Bechtold on This Week in Survivor. Robin Akiva, Need a Podcast, as we're on the search for a third wheel. Facebook Friday for the patrons as well. And then our big final wiggle room of the season coming up on Monday. So a ton of stuff going on. Of course, if you want everything that we have going on behind the scenes, our patron podcast feed, patron Facebook groups, and more, head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron. More and more shows are on the patron podcast feed, as we have our patron trivia night, not to mention the weekly 5 for 5 as well. So plenty to do, and we'll be bringing you much more here in this Survivor off season. Thank you so much for listening all season long. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.